Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa. I'm your host. And in today's episode, I'm speaking with Christine D'Angelo, who's helping busy moms identify and reach fitness goals. Christine and I spoke about why people aren't losing weight, what's nutritional therapy, and the benefit of each macro, hydration, strength training, and breathing exercises. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode with someone who might find it helpful. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes. Now on to my conversation with Christine. Christine D'Angelo, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have you on. I know so many of the listeners, especially the moms, but also the men listening or women that are not moms, are going to take so much away from our episode. What are you most excited for the listener to learn today?
I think I'm most excited just that the listeners understand that nutrition and fitness does not have to be complicated, and you can get results just by doing simple things consistently.
I love that. Yeah, honestly, consistency is one of my favorite topics. Nonetheless, everyone or nearly everyone's struggling with it. So I think we can never give enough tips for it. But yeah, Christine, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into coaching, how you got to where you are today.
So I am a wife, a mom of three. I have two dogs. And I always struggled with migraines my entire life from the time I was like a young teenager. And kind of just like took Tylenol throughout the years, whatever. And then after I had my third child, my migraines got really, really bad to the point where I was not able to get my baby out of the car. I had to like call, thank God for cell phones at the time. I had to call my husband, one of my babysitters, and they had to come get poor little Ryan out of the car. And I ended up in the hospital. And from that point on, I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. No one can live like this. I have three children, all, I think they were all under six at the time. And I can't be struggling with migraines, not being able to take care of my children. So I, of course, went to a neurologist. They put me on all kinds of medications, and I really wasn't feeling good. I wasn't feeling like myself. I had a lot of brain fog, and I just really, the medications just, I didn't want to be on them. So I said, that's it. Let's figure out what else we can do. So I thought, well, maybe I need to get into some fitness, like move my body a little more. Maybe there's something stuck. So I started doing some working out, and somehow at the age of like, what was I, 38 at the time, got into CrossFit. And I was like, oh, this is something, right? But in being in CrossFit, then also at the time, everyone was talking about the paleo diet and how it's so great and you need to do this. So I was able to, I went very strict paleo, which was great at the time. And I was able to wean myself off all my meds and no more migraines.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, there's something to be said for this whole fitness and nutrition thing. Like, holy cow, I was able to get myself, and I'm not saying that that happens for everyone, but I felt like if I could do that, then there's something to be said for how we take care of ourselves. What are we putting in our bodies? How are we moving? So I became a CrossFit level one coach. I started a ladies only CrossFit program because I thought that was like so fun to lift barbells. And at that point, this was like 2010 or so, women weren't really lifting weights like that. And from there, I decided, okay, I have the fitness piece. I also became a certified yoga instructor. So I had all that movement, but I wanted to do something with nutrition. So I went to Nutritional Therapy Association and I got my functional nutritional therapy license. And I loved that. I was able to not only help women learn how to move their bodies safely and move weight and build muscle, but also how do they fuel their bodies and like what else is going on there, you know? So that's what happened. And then I taught in that CrossFit for quite a bunch of years. And then I decided, let me take it online and do some online coaching as well. So that's where I'm at now. And my kids are all grown. They're all in their 20s. My youngest is just about to start college. So, it's been a nice journey, but it's been very rewarding.
Amazing. Well, thank you for giving us a bit of a background. And we definitely share some similarities in terms of the fitness journey. I also kind of had my introduction to strength training through CrossFit. Actually stopped in 2018 because of some injuries and transitioned more into conventional strength training, which I'm still following now and loving. And I mean, I'm so thankful to CrossFit for introducing me to strength training, for introducing me to compound lifts, and just that feeling of like empowerment and strength overall, and which I never thought I would love so much. So truly, there's absolutely nothing wrong with some CrossFit as long as you are able to put your ego to the back and also address some imbalances, which I was not able to do at the
I would have to say, same for me.
time.
That introduction to CrossFit, the ego is so big
Yeah.
and it's hard to let that go. But
Absolutely. Yeah,
after
and I also
hearing,
was following the paleo diet initially and then found macros through that. So I'm also thankful because the paleo diet, it does quote unquote clean up one's diet, right? Like it introduces
oh,
you
totally.
to whole foods and just that whole like micronutrient focus when it comes to eating. So I'd love to hear from you because I'm sure that with that change in your nutrition, more than just losing the migraines, you saw some physical changes as well in your aesthetics. Probably, I would imagine you might have added some muscle, maybe lost some body fat. Was that the case for you?
So initially, when I started doing CrossFit, I did lose some weight. When I went on the paleo diet, I lost a lot of weight. And I think it was more like I just eliminated everything. And so
Right.
there was kind of like, I was sort of limited. Like it wasn't probably the best introduction to paleo, but it worked because it really did, like you said, made me understand more about whole nutrient dense foods, which I never really thought about up until that point. So
Yeah.
it gave me a lot of background. And then from there, I kind of like, it wasn't sustainable with three little kids. They were like, Mom, this is not like nuts and seeds. Like, what are we
It
doing?
was also not sustainable for me, even without kids. I was just like, I love bread or I love, rice, any kind of carbs, and I was just way too low in carbs. But yeah, I'm
Yes.
still thankful for that time and for it bringing me here. And I think we learn everything with or something with everything that we try. But overall, I mean, most of the women that you work with, because like your specialty is working with busy moms who want to set fitness, but also health and nutrition goals and probably lose some weight along the way. So why would you say most people, especially women and especially women in the menopause transition, struggle with weight or struggle losing weight?
It's so complicated, right? Like we all hear so much about menopause and perimenopause now. It's like the big talking points. And as someone who's going through it myself, it's like, thank God we're talking about it because women really need to know what is going to happen to their bodies. I think we've really been done a disservice over the years, but why are they struggling to lose weight? I think it's so obviously the hormonal shifts. Our estrogen is dropping, our progesterone is dropping, our testosterone is dropping. And women don't even think about testosterone in their own bodies because I don't think women realize that testosterone is actually the primary hormone that we have. It's not estrogen and progesterone. Yes, it's way less than men, but it is a big one for us. And when it drops, it really affects us. It can reduce our muscle mass, change our metabolic rate. So, like, even if we're eating the same calories, we still might be gaining weight. Our progesterone drops. We're going to retain water. That's going to cause bloating. It's going to make us feel like, gross. And then estrogen drop can really reduce our insulin sensitivity. So we're really just struggling on all fronts there. Now we have a slower metabolic rate. I think another problem that we as women in our perimenopausal years might have is, even if you don't have kids, you're probably at this point in your career where you're working more. And so you don't have time to take care of yourself. Maybe you have to stop going to the gym as often. You can't get out and go for a walk, or so our movement kind of slows down. When that happens, then we get more tired. It's sort of like this never-ending cycle of like, well, I'm tired, so I can't move, and I'm not moving, so now I'm not building muscle or maintaining muscle. So it's a big struggle. I think also another problem for us women is we're taking care of our aging parents. And so that becomes something else. So now our cortisol levels are higher and we're struggling with that. Maybe we aren't sleeping well because of all of the stress that we have. It's so complicated, and I think you have to kind of dive into each little individual piece and take it really slowly. Because if I throw all of that at you as a perimenopausal woman, you're going to slam the door in my face and be like, "Christine, I can't. What are you talking about?" And so, even though there's a ton of things that really can affect our weight as we kind of step into that perimenopausal, menopausal age, we can work through all those things one at a time, kind of identify which are the things that are really we're really struggling with. And I think also as a coach, knowing when to refer my clients out to someone who, maybe who can prescribe HRT, do some blood work to find out if there's some nutrient deficiencies. Make sure they're doing the right training. Ask them, are you only doing cardio? Because we know women, us women, we love our cardio and we really need to be doing strength training. But then also making sure that they're safely strength training, because I don't know about you, but so many times you hear lift heavy, lift heavy, lift heavy. For someone who's not been working out for 10 years, lifting heavy doesn't necessarily mean 30, 40 pound dumbbells. It could be 10 or 12 pounds that they need to start with. And so I think we get kind of this like crazy idea in our head, like we need to be lifting heavy, and then we get hurt, or we feel incompetent, or we feel kind of embarrassed that we're not doing the things that somebody else is doing, but that other person has been lifting their whole life. So
Yeah, I think that's a really great explication of like explanation of how multifaceted is it really is. And I love the overarching message though that yes, we can make improvements because sometimes we find people quote unquote hide behind certain excuses of like, oh, I can't lose weight. I'm going through the menopause transition, or I can't lose weight because of genetics, or I can't lose weight because my cortisol is so high and therefore it's basically impossible. I'm like, no, it might make it harder. It's probably not as easy as it used to be. The
Right.
things that you used to do that used to work maybe don't work anymore. Maybe you have to be more strict. Maybe you have to go the extra mile. Maybe you have to be even more consistent, even more accurate, all these kinds of things where you used to get away with a lot less in the past. Sure, that might be happening and you might not like that message, but it's not impossible. You're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. It's not your quote unquote normal as it used to be in your 20s and 30s where you had a lot more consistency. What
Right.
I see with my menopausal clients is just that it's hard to get something dialed in when it comes to a hormone replacement or like anything that what they don't like is the undulating thing way of things. Like a few days you're feeling amazing and this is working great and sure we're on the right path, and 3 days you're like half depressed because you're swollen up like a sponge, and then 5 days are amazing again. And it's just like, yeah, like please trust the process, because even though we're going through these waves, the general trend of where we're going is the right one. And we just have to kind of trust that and not listen to our own narrative when we have that voice coming in of like, oh, you need to restrict calories more because it's not working, or this whole plan isn't working. I should probably try, I don't know, Ozempic or whatever.
Yes.
Where it's like, no, we just need to stay consistent, and in 2 days' time, your body is probably going to drop the water weight again.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that was a very important message of like, as long as we're looking at it multifaceted, and as long as we are not getting hung up on the small movers and focusing on the big basics and the
Yeah.
things that the woman can handle at the time, not just overloading and here's a list of 50 things I want you to do from tomorrow onwards and another 100 that I want you to stop from tomorrow onwards.
Right.
And that's just absolutely unrealistic. And I do think that on top of all these things that you mentioned, something that many people, and not just women, and not just women in the menopause transition, but many people generally struggle with is this, oh, but I'm eating so clean or whatever, and I'm not seeing the results. And then you kind of get into it and you're like, You're really tied to that all or nothing thinking. You might be eating quote unquote clean or very low calories, Monday through Friday afternoon, and then Friday afternoon to like Monday morning, you have zero structure, double the calories, and you just didn't register anything. That's why you think like, oh, it doesn't matter here and there.
Oh yeah.
So
Yeah,
yeah, I
the
know that
weekend
you're
thing.
big on like talking about all or nothing thinking with your clients as well, and I'd love to hear from you. What are some strategies that you have come up with or that you use to work with your clients through this all or nothing thinking and helping them move away from that?
Yeah, I think I always talk to my clients about like we don't have to be perfect. It's really like, are we making progress? Like I hate it when people come to me with this all or nothing. Well, I went to a party, so I didn't record. Well, I always tell them, like, listen, track your macros because the more we track, the more we have a better picture of what your lifestyle looks like. So, okay, you went to a party. That's great. I'll always tell them, like, I'm not here to judge you. I'm always here to help you. I want to help guide you. So you went to a party, and we all know, like, I am Italian. I live in the Northeast. We have lots of fabulous food. Parties are always like ridiculous. There's always going to be cocktails. If you're drinking, you're probably going to have wine or, some kind of fancy cocktail. There's always going to be a plethora of carbohydrates, and they're all going to be delicious. You're probably not going to find a vegetable anywhere. And if you do, it's going to be like a carrot. So, like, okay, great. We're going to a party. It's in the middle of the day. How about if you have a protein shake before you go? So at least you're like getting that protein in. Maybe have a protein shake when you get home. Like, keep it simple. Yeah, you're not going to be perfect at a party with 100 people or 50 people. You're not going to be perfect at a dinner party. You're going to have a couple glasses of wine, whatever. Put it in the app so I can see it because I'm not here to judge. I just want to know what's going on so that maybe we can think about what the next time this comes up, we can put those two glasses of wine in the app prior to you going to the party. And then we know, okay, this is what my calories look like. Maybe we can make sure we have some really good nutrient dense, like a high nutrient dense breakfast so that you're kind of full. So maybe you're not like gorging yourself on all these things that you would stuff your face with because you're walking into a party like empty. Make sure you get some movement in. How about that? Like, go to the gym before you go to this party. Like, super simple things that I think people just forget. They're like, well, I'm going to a party. I'm just like throwing caution to the wind. And it doesn't have to be that way. But I think the thing is, we really have to focus on our lifestyle. Like, I always say to my, a lot of times I'll say to my friends, like, our lifestyles are not quite right. Like, we're doing it wrong. We're not taking care of ourselves the way we should. And we think we want to, but we're really not doing it. So we just kind of have to rein that in and say, like, okay, if I really want to be the healthiest version of me, what does my life need to look like? And so maybe I can still have a couple of glasses of wine if I want to, but how can I take care of myself either before or after that? That will kind of serve me a little bit better.
That's a wonderful mindset shift, or even just mantra almost to have for anyone really. Like, how can I take better care of myself? And I think what you say there is so interesting of like we really want to take care of ourselves, but somehow we're standing in our own way. And I'm sure like everybody listening to this has felt that way too, where they're like, I know what I'm doing is not good, but somehow I can't get out of my own head or my own way. And I think that's where having accountability comes in so handy, because you get that person, like, yes, they might sound like, I know I'm annoying my clients quite often, because I'm like, did you do this and that? Okay, let's,
Yeah.
again, without judgment, just because like we're just there to hold their hand and to guide them through that and to bring their own attention to the things that they're often not wanting to face, or like where it's so easy. But then in the long run, like we want the best for them. It's kind of like with your child. Like if your child says to you, or if you give your child full access to everything and they can just have like sweets whenever, you're not serving them. This is not like my job as a coach is not to be your cheerleader and just be like, oh yeah, whatever you want to do, like go for it.
100%.
That's not my job as a coach. My job as a coach is like, here is the not necessarily optimal, but what the plan is. Now let's work with that. And that's something else that you mentioned is like, Number one, let's plan ahead if we can. Like, let's plug it in ahead of time if you've been to that same restaurant before, or you've been to this Thanksgiving dinner last year, so you kind of know what's going to come up. Let's kind of put in some estimation. And the other thing that you mentioned was a reflection on what went wrong and like how to prevent it next time. And I think that both those two things are really some of the key cornerstones of coaching in general, because anyone can follow a meal plan. Anyone can get some macros online, like whatever. Yes, there is an art to making the adjustments. There's an art to going through a reverse diet and all of that. But essentially, the art of coaching is the reflection process and the planning process, and then the accountability along the way. And I have to be honest, when I did some digging and research into you, of course, I saw that you are a nutritional therapist, or you have a certification in nutritional therapy. And I was like, this is the first time I'm hearing this term. Like, I mean, all my nutrition certifications are through the university, through my master's degree, and also through my nutrition certification through the Nutritional Coaching Institute. So it was the very first time I heard about nutritional therapy, and I'm curious to hear how you define it, or like what the I guess what is nutritional therapy really?
So nutritional therapy, it's basically like looking at all the functions of the body and how we can use nutrition to optimize all of that. So how are we optimizing our digestion? How are we optimizing our blood sugar regulation, adrenal and thyroid health, detoxification, all those things? So when my clients come to me, a lot of times people are like, I just want to lose some weight. So I'll just start them doing like just let's get some macros. Let's see what you're doing. As I look through, and then as a coach, you start talking to people and they're like, well, I feel really bloated and brain fog. And so I don't necessarily like to chase the symptoms of fatigue or bloating or weight gain. I look at why are those things happening? Are we having blood sugar imbalances? Are we having poor digestion? When we sit down to eat, are we watching TV? Are we chewing our food? Because we know, like, we shovel food in and it's all fast. Are we drinking water? Are there food sensitivities? And so nutritional therapy just sort of looks at all of those, like, why are these things happening in the body and how can we use nutrition to affect them in a positive way. Now, granted, again, I said earlier, I will always think about referring people out because at some point, if there's something really going on with digestion or thyroid, like if something comes up and I'm like, oh, this sounds like thyroid, please go see an endocrinologist. I 100%. But if there's like little things that we can do to sort of like help digestion, maybe we're eating some bitters, that sort of thing. Blood sugar dysregulation, we know that's huge and it can really affect weight gain. So let's get some more protein on board. Let's make sure we're keeping our blood sugar kind of level throughout the day. We're not starving ourselves, so we're all over the place. So yeah, I think so. Nutritional therapy, when I went through this program, we did do body testing at the time. This was pre-COVID. And so we would test different parts of the body and then test nutrients under the tongue, which I think that was like a big part of nutritional therapy. We don't do that so much anymore. People don't really like, I mean, we're getting back to it, but it was a nice way to see if certain supplements would help because a lot of times when we are negative in certain things, we need to supplement. I love a supplement here and there, but I always say like no more than two or three. Because, like, let's get some real nutrients on board. If you need some supplementation, that's okay. Maybe you don't eat fish, so you need some essential fatty acids. But I don't like to encourage people to take tons of supplements for long periods of time, but which is why I liked the body testing, because I was like, I could really nail down what someone needed at that time and then kind of boost them up as they were increasing their nutrients. So.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And actually, I get the term now in the sense of using food to quote unquote cure, or to fuel the body to really like make us thrive from the inside out, as opposed to having food being something that causes inflammation, et cetera, because like in your case, it truly was the cure for your migraines or for all the issues that you were having. And I think that for many people, it can help a lot, like from skin to how we're feeling to intestinal, like training, recovery, literally everything. I mean, they say we are what we eat for a reason. There is that saying. So, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And I guess to peel it back even more so for the listener, could you explain to us the sort of the purpose or the function of each individual macro and why you too in your practice use a macro-based approach by the sounds of it. Yeah, let's start with this, I guess.
So macro, it's so funny when whenever I say macros to people, they're like, what do you mean? And as we were talking about earlier, people, I try not to assume, but oftentimes I'm surprised that people don't know what macronutrients are. So macronutrients are your proteins, your carbohydrates, and your fats. Simple. But what's not simple is how much of each do we need? I think people, and you probably feel the same, do not consume enough protein to support their muscles. And so I always have my clients do 1 gram per pound of goal body weight or lean body weight if they're at their where they want to be. And then I kind of build the macros out from there. And then all of the macros added together are going to give you caloric intake. Now you can live like calories in, calories out. You could probably figure out a way to do calories in, calories out with like pizza and burgers and French fries, but you're not going to be at your optimal nutrition. So I'll always tell people when they first start, just track. Let's see where you're at. Carbohydrates, that's your energy source. So we need them. I hate it when people undereat carbs. Like, eat some carbs, people. It doesn't have to be like junky ones, but like carbs are going to give you the energy to live and feel good. And also, they're delicious. Right? Like,
I'm with you.
I mean, and then fats, you know, that's going to support your brain. It's going to support our joints. And it's just going to keep us full longer. Fats have a little bit more than twice the calories of proteins and carbohydrates. So we have to be careful how much we eat so we're not like overdoing it on the calories. But if you get some really healthy fats in there, you're going to feel great. It's really going to help you
I think
grow.
that's a really great explanation in the sense of like protein kind of being the building blocks of our body, how we shape our body, but also more and more research showing how much it's connected with our mental health, with our satiation, with our blood sugar regulation, then seeing carbs as kind of like the fuel. But beyond that, as you mentioned, like carbs help us sleep better, help us like
Right.
downregulate, especially if someone is like super anxious all the time or has a high training load or some glycolytic kind of sport like CrossFit, super, super
Right.
important. And then of course fats being important for kind of like the engine fuel, sort of like the helping us produce hormones, and as you mentioned,
Yes.
like also with so many other things such as satiation as well. So good explanation. And I'm curious, do you have like let's say five favorite foods and why specifically those?
So, I mean, my favorite is coffee, but
Love
I don't know
it.
if that doesn't count. No, seriously, I would say any kind of protein, please just get some chicken, get some beef, like really high quality beef. I love bison. People think I'm crazy, but it's so delicious. It's lean and it's so flavorful. I sneak it in all the time. My kids don't even know. I'm like, yeah, it's ground beef. It's fine.
Extra iron, extra vitamin B, love it. Yes,
It's
absolutely.
so nutrient dense, and I feel like it's really clean because
Yes.
lots of people aren't getting it. So any protein, that'd be number one. Get it all in, whatever it is. Salmon is a big one. Lots of people don't like it though, so that's a tough one. It's really hard to get people to eat cold water fatty fishes. It's a tough one. Berries, any of the berries I love, high in antioxidants, so great just for everything. Avocado, I love it. It's a healthy fat. It's fantastic. It's great for you. And it's a nice addition to pretty much anything. And then I would say like dark leafy greens or bitter greens. So I like the dark leafy greens. It's going to help with fiber. It's going to help get you lots of nutrients. And the bitter greens or the bitter foods, I love because it's going to help with digestion. Think arugula, radicchio, endive, even grapefruit, lemon, lime. Get them all in there. They're great, you know. And apple cider vinegar. Lots of people, you know, kind of poo-poo it, but I think it's great. You know, a little apple cider vinegar, kind of dilute it and get a little in there before you eat. It's going to really help your digestion.
Some great tips there, and I mean some great fibrous foods as well. So again, helping with satiation, helping just in general also with gut health, with the gut microbiome that we're learning more and more about, even though we still
Oh
don't
my
know a
God.
whole heck of a lot, but we do seem to
Fascinating.
know that fiber most certainly is beneficial. So I like those tips. I too love berries, dark leafy greens, really some of the most nutrient dense foods out there. And I too love coffee, but unfortunately, that can't be our only source of hydration. And I
Cannot.
too, like even on that front, I mean, talking about basics, hydration, I think
Yeah.
everybody from the point that you're a child onwards, you always hear like you should hydrate, especially if you're a little
Yes.
more warm or if you're sweating. Nonetheless, the amount of people that I start working with where I just ask how much they're drinking is like, I don't know, like 40 ounces or like not even a liter type of thing. How do you get people, or what are your tips to get people to hydrate more?
Yeah, I used to have a client who would say, "Oh my God, Christine, water is a hack. I'm not drinking water." And I'd be like, "Dude, what? How, what do you mean you're not going to drink water?" She was like convinced. Now I was like, "Listen, let's first, I'll always tell people like to tell me exactly how much you're drinking, because I've had people say, oh, like a glass a day." And I'm like, "How are you surviving?"
Yeah.
Right? so I'd be like, "Okay, we need to start boosting this up. The goal is half your body weight in ounces of water. Let's start there." And they'd be like, "Oh my God." But gradual. I try to get them to do it gradually. That's first and foremost. The other thing is, let's add some lemon. Because I feel like, first of all, it's really good because there's vitamin C in there. You're going to get some nutrients, which are going to help with holding on to that water that you're taking in, but also give it a little flavor so you don't feel like you're drinking water. You kind of have to trick yourself a little. I also will have them add a pinch of sea salt, not so that they are tasting the salt, but it kind of softens the water. So it just makes it like a little bit more palatable. But again, getting those minerals in there to help to hold on to that water, make those cells kind of happier when you're taking the water in. So you're not flushing everything out. Because you know, if you overconsume water or drink it too quickly, you're just going to flush everything out and you're still going to be in this kind of like weird dehydrated state. So definitely adding lemon and some salt, sea salt. And then I just have them gradually do it. Like, okay, this week you're drinking a glass a day. Let's shoot for 2 glasses. And like be consistent with it. And I'll put it in their habits, like 2 glasses of water. And the next week, we're gonna have three. And we're gonna just keep adding or like add a certain amount of ounces. Another thing that I found is really helpful, and you might have found this too, is like get a water bottle you love. We all have them everywhere. Get a water bottle that you love. And I found water bottles that have like all the little markings. So, like at 8 o'clock, this is how much you should drink. By 9 o'clock, you should have this much gone. And so, like, it kind of is like a little awareness, sort of like me standing on their shoulder going, "Hey, drink some water. It's right there." I did
That's
find
a
that.
good tip, even to just like get a grasp of like how much are you actually drinking or not. And I'm a big fan of like having at least 2 glasses or sort of 16 ounces or so first thing in the morning on empty stomach, like as you said, whether that be with lemon or with apple cider vinegar, or can be even tea or something like that. So if you have that, and then let's say you have the same amount or at least the same amount during your training as well, and then if you had another like a protein shake or two, and you can count the liquid in that, we're already, a good stretch of the way there. And then if you perhaps add a glass of water maybe half an hour before each meal to sort of make sure like, was I really hungry or was I just thirsty? I think that's often a big thing to kind of dissect because we think we are starting to get hungry, and then you're actually, oh no, I was just sort of dehydrated. And in summer, maybe you can add some electrolytes, so it again for a little bit of flavor. Or sometimes I have people asking, should I take EAAs or BCAAs? And I'm like, well, technically we really don't need it, because if you're eating enough protein. But if it helps you drink enough, if it makes you drink more during your training, like I don't care if you have the extra cash, by all means go for it. It's not going to hurt you having those extra BCAAs or EAAs, right? And so I think it's often just a reminder, like having that reminder initially, or I have worked even with people where I was like, get a water app, like every, I don't know, every 2 hours or whatever, you have an alarm going off, and until you get, like once you have that in your system, you can get rid of the app, but something where you're reminded to just hydrate a little bit, to carry that bottle, that beautiful bottle that you that treated yourself with you. So
I do the same thing with the app. My kids are like, "Mom, your phone's telling you to drink water." I'm like, "Okay."
Well, I mean, we need reminders. Sometimes time just flies by. And I guess, like, speaking of time flying by and stress, because you also mentioned cortisol playing a role with the struggle of losing weight and so on. What are some of your stress management tips, or like breathing perhaps as well? Because I think that's something that you talk about as well. Share some of those with us, if you will.
Yeah, stress management. Everyone's like, I can't manage my stress. And I'm like, oh, but we have to. Breathing is one of the big ones. And it does, I think when you tell someone that they need to breathe, they don't really think about it. They're like, I breathe all the time. But I'll be like, listen, if you're feeling super stressed, just take like three big deep breaths, like inhale through your mouth and like blow out like a lion, you know? And like do that three times, like a big inhale and then a whoosh. You're gonna feel this release. It's like your body's letting go. And also, you're filling your body with all this oxygen. You're gonna feel great. So that's a big one because I feel like you can literally do that anywhere. You could be in your car and you can just take three deep breaths. Your kids can be driving you crazy. Your boss can be banging on your door. You can just take three deep breaths. No one's even gonna know what you're doing, you know? So I think that's like a really big one. Just breathe. Beyond that, I think meditation is great. It's very challenging for people. Have a mantra that you can kind of like just say over and over to kind of keep yourself and keep your mind kind of engaged in the meditation as opposed to just like letting yourself wander off. I love yoga. It's actually my first love even before CrossFit. So, you know, even 15 minutes of just a little bit of yoga is so helpful. And I always tell people, you can find 15 minutes. Hide for 15 minutes in, even if you have to do it like in your garage. Like you can find just a few minutes, right? Really, it's so important. So definitely breathing, definitely yoga, meditation if you can do it. The meditation apps are great, and there's lots of little short meditations that you can do. Get outside, take your shoes off, and go walk in the grass for 2 minutes. Get
Yes.
yourself grounded.
Yeah, I love
Get
that.
outside first thing in the morning. Like,
Absolutely.
literally go outside and like look at the sky for 5 minutes in the morning.
That morning sunlight is absolute magic. So therapeutical. And I love everything that you said. Like there, I think we are also seeing more and more research on like various breathing techniques. I used to be a big fan of like the box breathing, where you do four
Yes, I love
breaths
box
in,
breathing.
four holding four, exhaling four, holding for. And now I love the physiological sigh, where you take one deep breath in, and when you're at the top of that, when you think you've already fully inhaled, you do another breath and then you exhale fully. But I think the research really shows it doesn't actually matter which one you do, as long as you're emphasizing the exhale, having a longer exhale or very pronounced exhale and a little bit of a shorter inhale, but yeah, still deep. It really doesn't matter. And I think all what all these obviously do, aside from the physiological effects, is just they bring us back to our body, back to our center, as opposed to thinking of the future, thinking of the past, panicking about what's going on around us, and you're just like coming back to your body. And that is so important. And as you said, it really doesn't have to be a big deal. I hope that people are starting to learn that breathing practices don't have to be like you sitting in the corner doing Wim Hof for an hour. It can honestly, anyone can do it. You don't need a manual to that. You literally just need to think, like, get back to your body and focusing on in and exhaling, and that's about it. And when it comes to the meditation, I really think it's similar. Like, find what works for you. For some people, it might be going for a walk without their phone. For some people, it might
Yes.
be locking themselves in the bathroom before taking a shower and just, doing a few minutes, like 2 minutes sitting there and nothing else, or even while you're under the shower, not thinking about your to-do list, but literally just like being there, being present. And it's just what works for you, but make it intentional. And I think
Yes, that's it, the intentionality. Yep.
absolutely. Yeah. Not thinking like, oh, I'm going to meditate when the time rolls around, because that's never going to happen. Like, we're all so
No.
busy. People are going to occupy our time if we don't make the time for ourselves. So I truly think all of these are super helpful with the meditation apps as well, or just in general meditating. I think sometimes people have the expectation of like, I need to not think of anything during that time. Like, when I first started meditating, and you hear that quite often, like, oh, when your thoughts shouldn't arise, when they arise, push them away and blah blah. It doesn't have to be that way. Like, you can make it anything that you want, as long as you don't make it about your to-do list.
Please don't make it about
Like,
your
that's not the
to-do
purpose of your meditation time. But like, just yeah, be passionate. You can be reflecting on your day. You can like in positive and practicing gratitude. You can make it more
Yes.
like a manifestation thing of like, this is what I want, my future me to do, or whatever. Like, anything goes. It's just
Yep.
about being intentional and like making that space for yourself, I really
I
think.
agree.
So
And I love that. I love the intentionality of it. It's so true.
yeah, and I think it, I mean, we can probably apply that umbrella to everything, like whether it comes to food and to our training, like what exactly we're doing is secondary. The most important thing is that we're present, that we're doing it with intention. And I think the same goes for like our choices with food. Nothing is truly like good or bad, or we don't have to be overly restrictive, as long as the things, as we choose everything with intentionality. If you're like, today I'm
Agreed.
gonna have that glass of wine because I am, hanging out with my 50 family friends here, and I'm gonna be happy with that. I won't feel guilty about it afterwards. I'm making that intentional choice to enjoy that moment with them. I think, yeah, it's
100%.
that's probably the most important thing.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think that's a beautiful way to put it.
Well, Christine, thank you so much for truly, yeah, showing us that it doesn't have to be overcomplicated, that we, as long as we're being consistent and focusing on the big basics that move the needle the most, that we can all, no matter whether throughout the menopause transition or whether we're moms or not, that we can all have a wonderful body that we're enjoying our lives in. So thank you so much. Please share with us where people can find you. Of course, I will drop everything in the show notes as well, but let us know how people can stay up to date with you.
Yeah, so mostly just on Instagram, at Christine underscore D'Angelo underscore. And then I have a link tree in there. You can find all my other stuff. I have an app that I coach through, so that will also be in my link tree. But thank you so much. This has been so lovely. And I really enjoy, I love having these conversations with, co-coaches, and it's so enjoyable. And thank you so much for bringing all these great people to your podcast. It's really great. I love hearing all the different perspectives, and it's really awesome. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for your feedback. That really means a lot. Thank you so much, Christine.
Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Christine. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow. And remember, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go. If you are looking for premium supplements, our partner, Fat Muscle Project, has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more. And feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.